So good to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Coming up a little bit later this hour, a look at the science of diversity training, which has become ever more popular in the wake of nationwide protests against racism and police violence. But what do we know about the science of diversity training? And does it really work in helping people to better understand those with different views? We'll find out later this hour. Harvard researcher has looked at it and has some pretty pointed critique of diversity training will be joining us. Also want to remind you that this evening at 6 o'clock, we'll of course have live NPR coverage of the first of the three presidential debates from Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland. President Trump, Joe Biden, they will be debating 6 o'clock, including NPR analysis following the debate right here on KPECC. We turn our attention now to Minneapolis, where the city council, to international attention, voted to abolish the police and create a public safety agency that would take the police department's place. This, of course, in the wake of the police killing of George Floyd and the nationwide protests against police practices and against racism. Well, how have things gone in Minneapolis? What do residents think of that pledge? What about the Charter Commission that was supposed to come up with a ballot measure that would incorporate these changes? With us is Minneapolis Star Tribune reporter who covers Minneapolis city government, Miguel Otarola. Thank you very much, Miguel, for joining us. We appreciate it very much. Where do things stand with the ballot measure that was supposed to come out of this?
Thanks for having me on, Larry. So right now, basically, as a lot of people may have been aware after seeing the New York Times story that came out about this over the weekend, the ballot measure that the city council really wanted to get on this year's ballot in November was essentially halted because of another body here in Minneapolis that allows changes to the city's charter or the city's constitution, basically, saying they wanted more time to review some of these changes that would basically allow the Minneapolis City Council to replace the Minneapolis Police Department. So right now, many city council members are trying to say and promising that this is going to go in next year's ballot in 2021.
And is it clear what the council members actually want? Because at least it sounded, I think, to many of us on the outside that they were looking at the most dramatic reshaping of law enforcement of any city in the country, not just a partial defunding of police and farming out response to other agencies, but really rebuilding from the ground up. Is that what the majority of council members want?
So basically, you're asking for the clarity here, and definitely this is what the city council members said that they wanted, to replace the Minneapolis Police Department as it currently stands with something new. However, the specifics of that plan were still very much up in the air, with some council members saying that they wanted to just go ahead and get the ball rolling and go ahead and start this process of community engagement, who would have, you know, been resulted with this ballot this ballot proposal that would have gone on the ballot in November. The proposal that they had originally come up with was sort of criticized, especially by members of the Charter Commission and some people here in the community, as not being very clear in terms of the changes that they wanted to see. Who perhaps would replace the Minneapolis Police Department? Who would respond to certain calls? Things like that. And ultimately, it's probably the main reason why the Charter Commission decided to take extra time to go ahead and review this proposal, saying we need more public opinion, we need more time to review what changes this would actually make to the police department. They were really sort of struck by the vagueness of this proposal that was put together just a few short weeks after George Floyd was killed here.
The middle of last month, your publication, the Minneapolis Star Tribune, as well as NPR News, our sister entity, Minnesota Public Radio, and local television station Carrie Levin collaborated on a poll in which Minneapolis residents were asked, you know, what they thought about reducing the size of the police department. This doesn't even go so far as dismantling it and rebuilding it. But when it comes to reducing the size, I was struck by the fact that among African-American Minneapolis residents, only 35% supported reductions in the size and funding of the police department. Did that cause council members to sit up and take notice?
You know, I would say that some of those things that we had seen from that poll, and definitely after, you know, the weeks after George Floyd was killed, and the momentum for defunding the police sort of slowed down or started to get more context into what was happening. There were definitely people in certain areas of the city, in particular, we did stories about places like in North Minneapolis, for example, where crime during the summer usually rises, with a lot of Black residents saying that they wanted to have the police there to be able to rely on them when they call. The problem is they don't really see that they're doing that right now. I can't tell you of any conversations or things that I have seen with city council members saying that it caused them to sort of take pause about exactly what was happening, at least from the ones that said that they wanted to completely defund and rethink the police department.
We're talking with Minneapolis Star Tribune reporter Miguel Otarola, who's been covering Minneapolis government and policy issues. Also with us, the vice president of the volunteer organization in the Twin Cities region, Communities United Against Police Brutality, Dave Bicking. Mr. Bicking, thank you very much for joining us. So where does your organization stand on what you want to see happen with the Minneapolis PD?
What we want to see is definitely a downsizing of the police department and a redirecting of some of those funds to various alternatives to policing. And most important is to rein in the police that remain to reduce police violence. Alternative sources for dealing with mental health, drug addiction, and overdoses are important. Other little things like just taking routine crime reports don't need to be done by an armed police force. And the police also engage in other activities that we don't want to see anybody do, breaking up homeless encampments or attacking peaceful protesters and journalists. So there is much the police does right now that they should not be involved in. That is not the same as abolishing the police. Our focus is on reducing the police violence while recognizing that the flip side of police brutality is a lack of police service. And people legitimately, and I think it shows up in those polls, legitimately want to have good police service, and that they have not been getting that either. Both the police violence and the lack of service, both of those harm the community. And both need to be dealt with.
And so were you concerned personally when you heard this pledge from the council members to dismantle the police department and rebuild something entirely from scratch? Did that concern you immediately?
I was not concerned in the sense that I thought there was any intention of doing that or any likelihood that such a thing could be accomplished if that was their intention. Our concern was that there was this sudden radical rhetoric that is just utterly hypocritical in relation to what the city council has been doing for the last 3, 5, 10, 20 years. The concern is that they were diverting attention from immediate changes that are needed, from reforms that we have been advocating for many, many years, to divert attention from that, engage in a one-year public process, and then leave the status quo untouched. We have seen the same thing after other police murders in Minneapolis. A lot of nice talk, and then everything goes back to the way it is. And I think they want to do that to rather than to make up any real great changes.
So you really, I mean, some people would say this a little bit cynical, but you believe essentially this was a ploy?
I believe that, you know, at least among some city council members, it was a ploy. If not, they are utterly clueless and delusional because you know, what they were requesting. You know, we sympathize with people who, the intentions of people who are calling for police abolition. Our police force is so bad that it's very easy to say that nothing would be better than what we have right now. But to totally be rid of a police force, which are the only people who have the licenses to do certain actions, to arrest people and have due process in the courts, for instance, to do that would require a society where we don't need laws and law enforcement to control people's behavior. Creating that kind of utopia, as nice as it sounds, is way beyond the power of the Minneapolis mayor and city council.
We're talking with Dave Bicking, a member of the board and secretary of the volunteer organization Communities United Against Police Brutality, which is in the Twin City, Minneapolis-St. Paul area of Minnesota. We're talking about the vote taken by the Minneapolis City Council to dismantle its police department, rebuild it with a public safety agency, which is vastly different in how it addresses societal problems, including crime, and that effort, at least right now, stalled as the Charter Commission in Minneapolis said it needs more time to review this. Before I close, though, Mr. Bicking, I wanted to ask you, what would be, in your view, solid steps in the direction toward the kind of, let's take, for example, police response to 911 calls or taking crime reports. What sorts of training, recruitment, what sorts of things realistically do you think could be up and running to address that?
Well, I think there's a need for some change in some policies, but most of all, there is a policy in place requiring officers to intervene if they saw misconduct by another officer. That's what three of the officers are criminally charged with now. But there was never anything done to make that policy a reality. We had proposed a process by which other departments have done that, and that was rejected by the police department. Making those policies reality also requires discipline, and the city of Minneapolis has virtually no discipline of its police. What passes for civilian review in Minneapolis, of over 3,000 complaints filed by members of the public, has led to only 13 cases where the officer received any discipline at all, and the most was a 40-hour unpaid suspension. So discipline is extremely important. And, you know, we need to focus on those immediate things to stop police violence.
All right.
So bad, the Minnesota Department of Human Rights came in and said that and required some immediate reforms to, quote, stop immediate and irreparable harm to the public.
Mr. Bicking, I thank you for being with us. That's Dave Bicking of Communities United Against Police Brutality, and our thanks to Minneapolis Star Tribune reporter Miguel Otorola joining us as well. We update you on where things stand in Minneapolis as it leapt to the forefront of cities rethinking how its police departments operate, taking what was the very dramatic public step of calling for dismantling of the police department, rebuilding of a totally different centered public safety organization. That all being held off right now as the Charter Commission in Minneapolis reviews it. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up, we'll talk about diversity training, which is seeing renewed interest on the part of organizations and companies. We'll talk about whether it works, whether it does more harm than good. It's Air Talk on KPCC, back in 90 seconds.